We thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Okay. So, we have been going through this three-part series on holiness. And first Sunday we discussed this, which really talked about holiness and identity. And really, your identity as a son or daughter of God, as a son or daughter of the King, is wrapped into holiness. Your identity is wrapped into that. Because one, it's not about do's and don'ts. I have never for once ever believed the Bible is about do's and don'ts. The Bible is relational. We said before, Scripture cannot be understood outside the context of relationship. Okay? It's nothing more than a historical document at that point. But Scripture is meant to be received and understood relationally, i.e., relationship with our Father, sons and daughters relating with their dad. So why I choose to do what I do isn't because I have to, but because I love Him. And I honor Him. I am His son, therefore I want to reflect who my dad is. I'm continuing the family business of my dad. I honor Him by doing the things that please His heart, put a smile on His face. I honor Him because that's who I am, not what I do. What I do flows out of who I am as a son and a daughter. So we cannot understand holiness outside that context. I go to my wife when I have wronged her and say, I'm sorry for hurting you, because I love her, not to appease her. Okay? Out of love, recognizing that I did something that did not put a smile on her face. So, same thing with our relationship with God. Holiness is not about this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do. It's about, Lord, I'm making this conscious choice to love you. And I want to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Remember in the New Testament, several times in Paul's letters, he says, I, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. It doesn't say servant, bondservant is the word he used. A bondservant in New Testament times was somebody who used to be a slave to a master, but their time of being slaves was finished. But this person now chose to continue serving the master out of love for the master and his family, not as a slave now, but as more than a slave. This person said, my time is up. I'm a free man or woman. But you know what? I love you, and I want to choose to be a part of your household and continue ministering to you and your family. That's what a bondservant is. So when it comes to holiness, I make my choice to want to be a part of the household of Jesus Christ. I want to stay within my holy family. And if my dad is holy, which says, be holy as I am holy, therefore I can only be holy in the context of my relationship to him. Outside that context, I can't. So that's what we talked about a little bit on the first Sunday. And then last Sunday, we talked about communal restoration. First Sunday was about personal identity. This Sunday is about communal restoration. Last Sunday was. And we talked about how as a community, as a church, as a people, our inheritance, our blessing rests in being where we need to be in our relationship with the Father. When we are alongside of Him, partnering with Him, joining Him in what He is doing, okay, we are able to attain what the territory He's already prepared for us. Just like Israel, He told them, the land of Canaan is yours for the taking. I've already set it up for you to take. All you have to do is walk with me. Well, because of one person's sin, they failed to walk right with him. And they got their butt handed to them in a battle they should have won like that. So what did they do? They got right with God. They came as a community and said, let's get back to basics. Let's recovenant with you, recommit ourselves to you with your word, with your laws, with what you say, God. And at that point, that's when they were able to go in and conquer the land. So today, I want to talk about holiness and individual sacrifice. Holiness and sacrifice. And I'll explain what as we go into this. And I may not finish it all today, and that's okay because I don't want to rush through this at all. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. See, there's a sacrifice that goes along with this now. And beginning part of that sacrifice, what we talked about, is consecrating ourselves. What that means is positioning ourselves to be sanctified. Be in a position where God can do what he does, wants to do. So, Lord, I repent. Therefore, I position myself to be right with you, so now to receive what you're pouring out. In order to consecrate myself, position myself in that place where I can receive what God is pouring out, that means I have to abandon a former state. I have to abandon a former way of doing things, thinking about things, dealing with life. So in order for me to be in a position of humility to receive, I have to abandon my state of pride. Okay? In order for me to have my mind renewed, like Scripture says, renew your mind with the Word of God, I have to abandon my state of judgment and attitude and even perception of the way on those specific things. So, Philippians 1:27 says this, and this is a little bit towards the end of last week I want to go back to. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is what he says. Only let your conduct. What is my conduct? My conduct is the behavior that people see me perform. It's what I show in the natural. That's my conduct. How I act. How I am in public place. That's my conduct. Be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Be worthy. Reflect what Christ is doing in you, so that whether I come to see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs. So whether I'm there to hold you accountable or I'm not anywhere to be sight, you're still the same way wherever you are. Whether you're in your home, privately, in your living room, or in church, you don't change. The way you act, which is a flow out of who you are, again, in relationship to being a son and a daughter, is the same no matter where you are. Okay? We men have a problem, and that is called compartmentalizing. We men tend to compartmentalize things a lot of times. This is how I am here. This is how I am here. This is how I am here. Well, I should be the same in the way I conduct myself in reflecting Christ, whether I'm hanging out with the boys watching a football game, sitting at home with my wife, or being right here with you guys. What you see here today should be what you know of me that I am at home. That should not change. This is who I am. I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. As a church, as a people, it begins with the individual, it comes to the church. And what I love about this is understand this thing. The gospel is the good news of God. You know, it's what Jesus did. That's the gospel. Who Jesus is and what did he do. And he's saying, let your life reflect what he is doing. And understand something. When we talk about salvation in Christ, you are saved, which is a one-time thing, but then there is an ongoing salvation, which the Bible calls it going from glory to glory. It means every day I'm learning how to be a better son or daughter. It means every day I'm letting God work through me to work out some of the kinks in my life. Every day, I'm asking, God, show me, you know, where I need to work on to give to you. What have I been hiding to you? What hurt, what pain, what anger, what attitude, what whatever? What thing within me that has just still needs to be purged with you? You know, I'll share with you this little testimony. For those that knew me 5-6 years ago, and this is how God works. And I was talking to my wife about this morning, you know, giving thanks to God for burning off the dross. And for those that don't know, dross are impurities in fine metal, gold, silver, that God has to burn off, that has to come off through the fire before the metal is pure enough to be forged into something. So the dross has to come off before you can be forged into a ring or a necklace or whatever it might be. God has to burn off that dross within us for us to continue to be in the likeness of Him that we're called to be. Be holy as He is holy, right? And it's sometimes it's simple things, sometimes it's great big things. But 5-6 years ago, my wife used to, you know, get mad at me because I would be upset when I see kids running up and down here. Because church is like this. Okay? And God has been burning off the dross of the religious spirit in me over the last 5-6 years. That we're supposed to have fun in church. Why? Because it's the family of God coming together with their daddy. You're supposed to have fun. I think most of us will have fun at Thanksgiving or Christmas when we gather with family members, at least the ones we like. Well, hopefully we all have a thing for God and like Him and love Him, actually. And we are supposed to have fun together. So that's just a little example of God, things that God wants to purge. So my behavior, your behavior, is what He's saying here. Because of what Jesus is doing, not just did, but is continuing to do in my life. Why? Because I'm positioning myself for Him to do it. Which leads to my action is being witnessed by others. And that witness is becoming a testimony. So Paul is saying to them, I'm hearing about you way over here on the other side of the world because your conduct, the way you're behaving, is reflecting your relationship to Jesus so much that it's affecting other lives and they're telling about it. So where does the sacrifice and holiness come in? It comes in this. So the first sacrifice is the sacrifice in self. Because see, holiness is internal, but is outwardly evidenced in relationship and behavior. Holiness is an internal thing that is evidenced outwardly in relationships and behaviors. So the first sacrifice is the sacrifice of self. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we have to give up wants, our own desires, our things that we think make us happy, things that we think are best for us, for what God really has for us, the greater that He has for us. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And this is powerful because he says, your reasonable service. What does that mean in plain English? The least you can do. Present your bodies, the things of your fleshly nature, at the altar of Christ. Sacrifice them. This is the least you can do. See, one of the beautiful things is you can take that fine metal or that metal, that gold that you found in a mountain or wherever, and you could say, man, this is worth something. But then when you place it as your reasonable service into the fire and that dross is burnt off, now it becomes even more valuable because now it's useful. The gold in its prior state was not useful. It was worth something then, but now it's worth even more. Your worth is wrapped in your identity. So as I become more holy, in other words, letting God sanctify me in different areas of my life every day, which is the least I can do, my value to you increases and to those around me. My value never increases to God because he already values me so much. Okay, Jesus valued each one of us to a point where he can't value us anymore because he died for us. So our value to him can never go up because it's at its max. But my value to you, to my wife, to my daughter, to those in my life who I can impact as I release heaven on earth in representing him, my value increases because I can accomplish more. I can do more. Scripture says, he who is in me is greater than he is in the world. So I can do that because he is in me. So when I make a choice, and this is something, you know, we mentioned here before, my wife and I, how the Lord's called us into a season where at night sometimes we'll lay in bed and just pray in the Spirit. For those that don't know, praying in the Spirit is your spiritual language, which is scriptural. And we just pray in the Spirit instead of turning on the TV. That's a sacrifice because at the end of the day, in the natural, my mind just wants to shut off, put on the TV, and go blank till I pass out. But that's a sacrifice. We're entering in January a season of fasting for the month of January. And in 2 weeks, we'll begin talking about that a lot more. But you know what? There's a sacrifice there. I'm giving up certain things that I love to eat in order to focus on prayer and letting God bring revelation, but not just revelation, wisdom to move in that revelation. Because the two have to go hand in hand. God can show you something, but if you sit on it, it's worthless. So we ask for revelation and then wisdom to move in that revelation so we can accomplish things for our Father's house and do things that we need to be done. So my value increases that way. It is impossible to be holy without a sacrifice of ourselves in some way, form, or shape. It really is. Because I can't say, Lord, I'm giving you all of me, but I'm designating this time for myself apart from you. And here's the funny thing is, the part you want to hold back for yourself is the part God wants more often than not. Why? Because that's your God. That's my God. God had to break me of television, believe it or not. That was the hardest thing for me to be broken of for a long time because it was so important to me. I had to keep up with my shows. And there's different things in my life. God had to break me of my attitude, as I shared earlier, of you got to be prim and proper in church all the time. You can't make a peep. Instead of saying, Holy Spirit, come on, have your way. Show up and do what you want to do. If I need to get out of your way, I'll get out of your way. If you want to use me, hey, I'm here. So, holiness in those areas, that's what God wants. He's saying, lay this down for me. Why? Because in return, you'll get something greater. Something will happen. Because what holds you back is what you're bound to. Now that God has freed me from certain things, choice comes in. I can choose to do this, or I can choose to do what God wants me to do in those moments. It no longer I have to do this. There's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, Scripture says. So as I lay it down and make that sacrifice, he gives me freedom in it. It's no longer my God. He is now my God in this area. And where he is, I am now free and able to do even more. So it's not to take away the sacrifice of self. It's what we gain in offering it up to him. You never walk away from the altar of God after you lay down things the same way. You always walk out with more. And at the very beginning, it's freedom, whether it's freedom from sin, whether it's freedom from the way you're thinking, freedom from burdens, freedom from hurts, freedom from anger, freedom from other areas, even addictions. When you lay things at the altar of God, He sets you free. And there's freedom there. Well, I'm still on only point one. I got three more, so we're definitely not finishing this thing today. But I definitely, like I said, don't want to rush this. This is too important. Romans 6:19 says this: I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So in the past, you didn't know any better. This area of your life was not laid down to Christ, was not laid down at His altar. So what was the result? Well, you were living your way. And He calls it here lawlessness, uncleanness, because you didn't know. But now with Christ, in relation to Christ, we cannot, again, I can't stress this enough, holiness and it can only happen in context of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's it. In this relationship, as Christ shows me different things in my life that I can work on, that I can lay, and then He says, you laid them, now you have freedom in them. That's when they become righteous. And again, the word righteousness or righteous simply means to be in right standing. It means I'm where I need to be. That's all. I'm positioned in the right place where I need to be in my relationship with Him. So He says, just like, you know, you used to go this way and behave in certain ways, doing things your way with your attitude and your thought process and your own limitations on yourself. I mean, think about this. How many of us said, I can't, or I've never done this? Right there, that's lawlessness, not in right standing with God. Because if God says, I want you to do this, you say, oh, I've never done it, I can't, so I won't. He's saying, trust me in it. Lay that before me, and let me show you that not only you can, but you will. Because it won't be you doing it alone. I'm with you in this. You can and you will. I'm going to brag about Mark for a second. Is he here? No, he's next door. Okay. I mean, I remember years ago how nervous Mark would get even opening up Scripture because he's never read Scripture before. It's now a blessing to be in Bible study with him because he's not only unfolding Scripture, but he's getting revelation and he's getting wisdom in that revelation and understanding, and he's leading. And Madeline, same way. Wasn't that long ago where they're like, I can't, I've never done this before. But they said, Lord, they took a step of faith. We'll open our home for home group and see what happens. So when they took that step of faith, God said, you can and you will and we will. And guess what? And I mean this in the best way. I talked about our value to each other when we are holy. Their value to you as a church went up, increased tremendously. Why? Because they made that sacrifice of once a week in their home and where you are being fed. You are encountering the presence of God. You're being touched by God. You're rightly dividing the word of God. So their value to this church went up several million dollars. That's how God works. That's His economy. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What are these promises? Well, what has God told us? What has God told you about you? What has God been telling you about your future and your destiny? Many of us here have heard specific things God has showed them over the years. He made promises to you. And there are promises in His Word. And if you don't know that, make sure before you leave today, you get a Bible promise book in the back that has His promises. He told us you were born with a specific intent in Jeremiah. Then later on in Jeremiah, He tells us, I alone know the plans I have for you, a future and a hope. Not, I alone know what's going to happen in your life, grim and despair. You have a hope here. There's something going on for you on this road that I established for you as you walk with me and allow me to sanctify you as you consecrate yourself. That's going to bring about something beautiful in your life and your destiny. Is it always going to feel good? No. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But every time you accomplish the next step, you're going to look back and go, wow, this is awesome. Look what God did. He did the impossible. And I can't imagine how He did it. I don't understand it, but man, He did it. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. How many of us in this room have encountered struggles in our lives that have set, and we said, I just can't do this anymore. I don't know how I'm going to do this. How I'm going to pay this bill. How I'm going to deal with these kids. How I'm going to deal with this ex-husband or ex-wife or this ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend. How I'm going to deal with my work. How I'm going to deal, and you can fill in the blanks. Our job is not to coddle each other, but to point each other to Christ and get it right. And then let God do the thing. Let Him do what He needs to do. Because then we look back and go, wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing what you did. And thank you for choosing me to be a part of it, allowing me to be a part of it. That's why one of our unspoken mottos or codes or whatever here is, Lord, what are you doing today? And we just want to line it up with you. It's not our thing. It's what you're doing. And how do I get with the program? Show me. I don't want to do anything outside of what you have for me. And I don't want to do less than what you have for me. I want to be a part of it. Help me to see where you're moving and how I can come alongside you. These are the promises. So He says, cleanse ourselves. What does that mean? That's another way of saying consecrate yourself. Position yourself to be right with God. From all filthiness and spirit. Well, how does that happen? Holy Spirit, I lay this at your feet, Jesus. I lay it at your altar. I lay myself at your altar. I repent and ask you to forgive me. And I want to change my mind of how I treated my spouse. And I want to be the best loving husband that I can possibly be, or best loving wife I can be that honors you in this relationship. No matter what the other person is doing. My behavior is not contingent on what somebody else does. It's on, Lord, what are you doing? And how do I line myself up with you? That's what it's about. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Remember, in Scripture, the word fear can be replaced with being in awe of His great power, strength, and majesty. We're not talking about scared, petrified fear. It's woe fear. You are like ridiculously, amazingly awesome God kind of fear. Remember what Isaiah said in chapter 6? He says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And what did God say? No problem. Hey, cherubim, go take a coal from my altar and touch his lips and make him clean. And he did it like that. But Isaiah saw the awesomeness of God. He had a revelation of it. And he knew, whoa, I'm in a majestic, amazing place in the presence of one incredible God. So Paul is writing here, perfecting holiness, recognizing how incredible, awesome, amazing. There's no word to describe the indescribable God is. That he can do it. He's perfecting it. I'm not perfecting myself. He's perfecting me. I'm letting him do it. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I am going to stop here today. Would you stand with me right now? I'd like for you to just get into that receiving position. And if you don't know what that is, it's just kind of opening your hands and just letting the Holy Spirit minister to you, opening your mind, listening, because we believe God speaks to everyone here. Holy Spirit speaks to everyone here. So you don't need a human being necessarily to tell you things. Just let him speak to you right now. Just let him speak.
What he's doing in your body. We're always trying to just come into agreement with what God's doing. So if you're doing something else, you want to kind of come into agreement with what God's doing right now. Make a choice to choose to come into agreement with him. And what I felt the whole service, a couple of different things. One, I felt the energy of heaven underneath my feet. How do I feel that? It feels like a tingling sensation. I believe there are other people in this congregation that have the energy of heaven underneath their feet. And I believe that when you leave here, you need that energy because you are going out to break up hard ground. I especially know that that's true for Rashida, but I know there's other people that when you leave this is the most peace you have. And now you have to figure out how to carry the peace of God into the situation you're going to. So the God of breakthrough and the God of heaven is here. And he wants you to know his presence so that you know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He's empowering people right now for their assignment. And I also felt like the Holy Spirit was coming into my hands. For me, that feels like a little bit of a tingling and a little bit of electricity. For you, it might feel something different. So you want to be in the receiving position so that you can just say, Lord, if I'm feeling the same thing, when I have it at ShopRite, I can go, oh, there's somebody around here who needs healing. You're giving me this not because it feels cool. You're giving me this because you have something that you want me to do. The Word of God says we're his workmanship created for good works. So when you feel something like that and you feel your hands start to tremble, you can look up the scriptures in the Bible, but you will have an awareness. It's a practicing thing. You practice hosting him. Yeah? So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We say yes to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. We want the peace of God and the power of God, not for in here, but for out there. Because you have a lot of assignments for this congregation. The thing that the Lord told us is that we are an equipping center. And we used to think that meant, okay, well, you're going to come in for 3 to 5 years and then you're going to go out. And that has happened. But we're also seeing that that means you're going to come in on Sunday. You're going to come in every time that you can come in. But basically every time you leave here, you are breaking up ground for the Lord and everything that you do at the post office, at your job, at your school. You're breaking up ground. You're praying for people. You're declaring health and life abundantly to the people that you're around. Because you guys are kingdom warriors. You're advancing the kingdom everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. If you feel that tingling in your hands or in your feet, would you just come up here so we can lay hands and come into agreement with that? If you feel that. If you don't feel it, it's okay. Mike hardly ever feels anything. Yeah, but I am going to ask him to come and lay hands. More, Lord, more.
It's Jesus,
more,
yeah.
More, Lord, more. More for AJ. More for AJ. Ooh, there's the peace of God coming in strong.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Jesus.